Look at somebody and say, promote a God encounter. So I was on vacation with my wife, and we disconnected from the world. And it was the most beautiful thing in the world to be able to not have to look at anything from my phone, emails from my multiple email accounts, go on social media and listen figuratively to people moan and groan about things that they can control. And I got to focus on being on a cruise ship. It was my very first cruise. Never been on a cruise, wife been on a bunch of them. My very first cruise. And I got on this big boat and I tried, y'all. I tried to turn off my brain. I literally did everything I could to turn it off. I think a lot. I think I'm analytical. Almost anything I see, I can turn it into a concept. Bro, Fred, I tried. My boy, I can tell. I tried. You've known me for years. I tried. I really did. And it just didn't happen. And the reason it didn't happen was because I was on a ship with, me included, 3,200 people. It was full. And it was 1,700 people that were staff and workers on the ship. Almost 5,000 people on a floating city. Right? 15 floors. Anything you wanted to eat, anything you wanted to do, and probably half the cruise, what did we do? We slept. Thank God for sleep. But I noticed something that was very, very, very interesting. It shouldn't be that interesting, but I guess because of the world we live in, it becomes interesting. I was on a ship with all these people, all these different nationalities, all these different people that traveled to the port of Miami from all these different countries, all these different places, to get on a ship, to go to the Bahamas, and all this other good stuff. And nobody got into an argument about stuff. People on boat were like genuinely nice. Like every time I spoke to somebody, they smiled at me. Amen. Yeah. Even if English wasn't their first language and they've been learning it and they understood me, I understood them. And they proved that they could do stuff probably better than half the people I run into. People were just nice. I felt good. I didn't feel awkward. I didn't feel pressed.
Amen.
Just felt comfortable.
Yes, sir.
Being myself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, the self that I can't always be with other people.
Yes, yes.
Because you know the truth is we can't always be ourselves with everybody. Because we place a lot of barriers on what that means. Therefore, we don't always know how to serve folk well because we are conditioning ourselves and others to be something that they probably aren't. And not allowing God to bring out the genuine nature of who they are and enhancing that to becoming something powerful.
Amen.
Let me continue because I promise this all goes with the message. I just got to get this, you know me. Y'all got to know me a little bit, so bear with me. So I'm on the ship, and we went to the dining room about 3 out of the 4 nights. And we had at our table, because we had assigned tables and assigned time, and we had a waiter and an assistant waiter that took care of us every night that would come to that table. And something happened on the last night where the assistant waiter was there, but the main one wasn't. And something came over us where we're like, you know, and the man's name is Oscar. And we're like, where's Oscar? Because somebody else came to the table and we're like, oh, hey, you know, but where's Oscar? And it was at that moment that I recognized that because Oscar took personal interest in us beyond just taking our order, something happened where we began to be genuinely concerned about the condition, not of our waiter, but of a person, a man named Oscar.
Amen.
And as we were sitting kind of thinking about it, the assistant waiter came back and she told us, you know, that he was sick, wasn't feeling well. And something clicked in me saying, you know what, a couple nights ago, he looked like he was kind of run down. So I'm going to make sure to pray for Oscar. Now, I didn't see Oscar after that. That was the last night we traveled. We got back to Miami. It was that Friday. Everybody's getting off the ship. I didn't get to see Oscar. But I hope that he's better than he was the night before. Now, I say all that to say, it is amazing that a short period of time elicits a response of that magnitude. And probably it elicited that response because connection was made with the person, not with the position that he held. Y'all still with me? All right. So the response to pray for the person was not out of the obligation or the desire to have him as my waiter, but it was out of the genuine nature that he was sick and I wanted to make sure that he would be well. Okay. And that was fostered because the environment was one where folks showed that they cared about me. And in turn, it elicited the response of me caring about not their service, but them. The church faces a challenge. The church faces a challenge. And the challenge that we face is not about us as an environment, not about us as an institution, but it's about us being who we are meant to be. And the reason that I went to this text is because, as it was said, this is not a normal place in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, most people that preach or read the Bible do not read this part well. So get ready. We're going to be in this area after September. We're going to be in this area starting in October because we got to break this down a little more. But let me give you a preview. 2 Chronicles 6 and 7, they are very important chapters in the Bible for those of us in the institutionalized church. And the reason that it is important is not because of 2 Chronicles 7:14, because we always go to that. Y'all know what it is. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal the land. But most people read that and they don't make any connection to what is really going on. Here's what's going on. You got to go back to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Solomon is happy that the temple that he promised God he would build was finished. And they were consecrating said place. So Solomon, being the king and being in the line of David, who was given the opportunity to do what David wanted to do, but God said, your hands are too bloody to do. He gets up and says, let's pray. And he began praying.
Yes, sir.
And he prayed in such a way,
yes, sir,
that he said, God, we want this space to be one where everybody that comes through,
yes,
encounters you.
Yes.
And not just encounters you, but encounters you in a way that if they have sinned against you, that you will hear them.
Yes.
that if they come with a repentant heart, that you'll hear them. That if they come as they are and they have genuine desire to encounter you, that you will encounter them. But this part of the prayer has always got me. Because given the climate we're in, it's very, very, very important. Listen to it and process it. Likewise, this is his prayer. This is Solomon talking to God. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, break it down. When somebody who is not a part of what you have called as your chosen comes from another place to this place and prays in this place towards you, hear from heaven. Now that's odd. Ain't this supposed to be the house of God for the people of God? That's what it's supposed to be. But why would Solomon pray such a prayer? Maybe it's because Solomon got a whole bunch of wives from a whole bunch of places. So it could be a selfish prayer. That's possible. But look at it a little closer. Because if it's just a selfish prayer, it doesn't have impact on us right now. Listen to what it says. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays towards his house, hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, watch it, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name.
Hallelujah.
Let them come.
Hallelujah.
You missed it. Let them come. And God, when they come, honor their sincerity. And when you do it, it is not just for them, but it is to extend your reputation and your witness to those that do not yet know you beyond here. But it has to be based on the fact that we serve you and honor you too. That might have flew over you a little bit. Folk need to know that they can come. Number one. Number two, when they come, they need to know that the God of the house hears them.
Yes, sir.
Number three, we have to show that we honor the God of the house. So that they know that they're not just coming to talk to God, but that we promote the very fact that they want to encounter God in a unique way. And we will be able to tell somebody that God does everything God says he will do. The problem is we kick folk out before they get in. We come up with every reason why folk can't come. And in turn, we turn in and never go back out. And then we have created for ourselves a kingdom that does not look like God. Our job is to promote.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me, okay. I got examples for days, but I think about Master P. Some of y'all know him, some of y'all don't. There's a reason why Master P made a lot of money. Master P may not have been the greatest rapper in the world, but he believed in his product. He believed in his product so much, he sold his CDs out of the trunk of his car. And he was then known as the king of the South before T.I. came along. But he was known all around New Orleans, all around the South, because he promoted himself, because he bet on himself. And he made all this money and dominated the 90s, not because he was the best rapper, but because he promoted his product. What would it look like if we promoted God the same way we promote everything else? And I ain't talking about promoting programs. I'm not talking about promoting all kind of stuff. I'm talking about promoting God. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to promote God, to promote a God encounter? What does that mean? How do we do it? Number one, in order to truly promote, you got to declare the reputation of a holy God. When you promote a God encounter, you are telling folk what God can do. And how can you tell somebody about what God can do? You ought to know what God can do. And then how do you know what God can do? That means you had an encounter with God. And if you have had an encounter with God, then you are obligated by the very fact that you've been blessed by God to tell somebody about how God has blessed you. Watch and learn this. You ain't gonna be ready for this next part. That means your testimony ain't going to be like everybody else's. Stop trying to box your own stuff. Stop trying to package it like everybody else. Look, if you didn't say, if your prayer don't go like this, oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's all right. If your prayer to God was, God, help me, and God did, that'll work. Whatever it takes, tell somebody about who God is to you. Walking around here trying to perpetrate a lie. Stop it. Don't walk up in here. Man. Yeah, y'all, like I said, y'all got to just excuse me. God working on me. Don't walk into church acting like you have finally reached the last level of salvation. This ain't a game. You didn't reach the final level. I mean, Candy Crush had to add levels. You are growing from glory to glory, grace to grace, new mercies daily. You got to tell somebody. You, not me. I can't tell your story because I'm going to mess it up. I'm a writer. I will make your stuff look flowery when it was as ugly as could be. And nobody wants flowery stuff. When they want the real, they want the dirt. They want the tea. They want it all. So go ahead, because it's yours and you've been delivered, give it. What they gonna do with it? You think that other people are gonna really care? No. You might be surprised by how your testimony will deliver somebody from some bondages, from some hurt, from some pain that they couldn't bear by themselves. You and I, look, when the foreigner, when somebody comes that ain't like you, when they come from the street, this is the Charles Ferguson translation applicable for today. When somebody from the street comes to Wesley Church of Hope and they didn't live in your neighborhood, and they come saying, God, I need you. God, hear their cry. Let them know that you answer prayer. And let everybody, not just Southfield, not just south side of Columbus, not just Columbus, let Reynoldsburg, Pickerington, Dublin, everywhere, Let everybody know that you hear.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Let all the people of the earth know, just like we know,
yes,
that your name is great.
Amen.
And that you answer prayer.
Hallelujah.
Don't get in the way.
Yes.
Don't get in the way of somebody's deliverance because you got to hang up. Don't get in the way of somebody's healing because it's not like you would do it. Don't get in the way of what God is doing in somebody's life because they don't look, sound, or act like you. As a matter of fact, you ought to be grateful to God that people come through that don't do things like you, because they just might be the ones God needed to bring in so he has somebody that he can really use. We're promoters. We're not blockers. When you go out of here, promote God like you promote anything you do. You ought to be out here talking about Jesus in a way like you talk about every organization you are part of. As a matter of fact, you should do it even harder than that because you know the one that delivered you. Number two, gotta tell the world that God listens. How will people know that God listens? Tell your story. So I've told my story, at least part of it. Had a young lady look at me a few weeks ago after a message and say, I thank God for the message you preached, and I need to hear your story. And you let her know that she is literally the reason that my whole sermon prep changed going into next month. Because sometimes people could care less if you're a great preacher or if you are a great orator or you're great at what you do. They want to know because they got something that they're dealing with that they're not ready to really talk about. But they need to know that somebody has been through something. Do you hear what I'm saying? No. The problem is that we don't say it like we really mean it, because we've worked so hard to get away from it, and in turn we've worked hard to forget it, or we thought we forgot it. We worked hard to suppress it into our subconscious, and only time it comes out is when we're agitated and we don't talk about it. But it comes out through our actions, it comes out through how we approach people, it comes out through how we try to defend ourselves, because we don't want anybody to know this is what we got going on. How did you make it? Some people, they came running to the altar week after week after week, crying and crying and crying, pleading with God at the altar, pleading with God on the side of their bed, pleading with God in private, pleading with God at their work. That's how it went. They tried to put on a happy face, but when they got around the right people, they wept a lot, they cried a lot, they had to change the carpet because they wore out a hole in the floor. They did all kind of stuff. People need to know that. Don't you know that people believe they have this conception in their mind, this misconception in their mind, that when you are a Christian, nothing phases you? And you know how they got that misconception? We have worked hard for years and years and years, and we have taught people bad theology about coming into church, fake it till you make it, smile when you're hurt, do whatever you got to do. But baby, every now and then, I need to come into this place and be able to open my eyes, weep and cry and say, God, it hurts. God, I'm in pain. God, I'm going through it. I don't know how. I don't know when. But the one thing I got left is that I still trust you. I don't care how folk look at me. I don't care how folk treat me in this moment. It ain't about them. him. It's me and you. And if that's all I got, that's all I got. But God, I need you to bring me through. And when you come through, don't act like you've never gone through it. Tell somebody, I went through the fire, I went through pain, I went through hell and back, but I made it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
God hears, yes, and he still, yes, answers prayer.
Yes.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yes.
I'm finished on this. You got to welcome people into the space for the encounter.
Yes, sir.
Now welcome them in.
Yes, sir.
Here's where growth happens. Here's where growth happens. Numerical growth, church growth, spiritual growth, all that. Here's where it happens. I'm going to demonstrate this, okay? I need y'all to pay attention very, very closely. You pay attention, okay?
All right.
Y'all paying attention?
Pay attention.
I want you to pay attention real close.
Amen.
This is a deep theological principle. Y'all watching?
Watching.
All right. So this is where it begins. I'm telling you, this is a deep theological principle.
All right.
Got it? Got it. It's a deep theological principle. Here is where promotion,
yes, sir,
and welcoming begins.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Everything I say over. But it begins. Y'all looking at that door?
Yes.
You see, there's nobody there, right?
Yes,
sir. There's nothing blocking that, right?
That's right.
That's where it begins.
Amen.
That the church not this.
Yep.
That the church,
yes,
that the doors,
yes,
are what?
Open. Open. Yes, sir.
If you're not open,
you
can't help nobody. The prayer was not about, God, bless this beautiful place that I built with my listen. Don't shout here. Don't shout, don't holler, don't do nothing. I want you to listen to this. Because this is why I might as well go all the way here. This is why some folk that believe that they're going to heaven still might be going to hell. So I'm going to save somebody. The king prayed, let the foreigner come to encounter God. And God welcome that foreigner in so that they can talk to you. Because you got to come to God for yourself. I don't care how you. Not your grandparents' faith, your mama's faith, no. You. Even you. Come. Let them come so they can encounter you. So that they can see what we know for ourselves. That you hear and that you answer. Solomon did not say, give us the strength to block the door. Solomon didn't say, I want you to bless this space that I invested my money in.
Watch out now.
Well, listen, that temple was built off of Solomon's money and off of David's provisions from the past. So as a king and as royalty, he could have said, bless this place because my money's on it. He prayed that there would be no obstructions
to people coming to encounter Jehovah. So, this will draw people in. This will allow people to come in to encounter God for themselves. Can I get 2 volunteers? 1, 2, back. But this, stand right here. Not stand in front of me. But this will perpetuate an environment that God never blessed. Who's going to get in dealing with all this? Who's going to get in and experience God if all we want to do is maintain our lifestyle? Now this, the church, from an institutional standpoint, has become nothing more than an institution that promotes a that promotes the environment and lifestyle of the people that gather. But the church, which is what all believers ought to promote, an environment that says that God is living, God is active, God is available, and God still honors and blesses.
So, I finish with this, because as much as I would love to hoop and get a bump, I need to allow you to know how serious I am about the mission of God's church. We are not here to maintain our thing. We are here to promote God's thing. We are here to let folk know that there is a reality in serving God. And it is our job, our responsibility, our mission to let folk know that no matter where you are in your journey, that God is present, ready, and willing to hear, answer, and push you forward. So I leave you with this thought as the one mission still continues. How are you going to promote God today? I'm not going to wait till Monday. How are you going to promote God today? How are you going to share with people that God still heals today? How are you going to share with somebody that God still loves today? How are you going to do it? Likewise, when the foreigner comes, who's not of your people Israel, comes from a far country for the sake of your great name, not because of what we think we are, but because of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes, prays towards this house here from heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name.